Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Are y'all ready to receive the word today? Come here with excitement in your heart. Everybody, y'all judge me, I've judged you. Now we're ready to go, and let's hear what God's got to say to us. Verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6. When we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord said to us, "You have stayed at this mountain long enough. It's time to break camp and move on." Read halfway through verse 7. It's time to break camp and move on. The title of today's message is Break Camp and Move On. Time to break camp and move on. You know, we study the Old Covenant and we read about it in the Old Testament step by step. And we do so because it so reveals, it explains, it shows us life under the new covenant. The old covenant is a blueprint for life under the new covenant. No builder just goes out on a piece of property and starts nailing some boards together and pouring concrete out on the ground. There's a blueprint for what we're trying to build here. There is a plan. There's a direction. There's a purpose. You can show the builder. You can show the homeowner. It's not here yet, but here's where we're going. All can see that. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God created all that's here. He created a place called the Garden of Eden. He put man in the Garden of Eden. It was perfect. It was a perfect environment. It was more beautiful than words can describe. God created mankind, and he placed us in that kind of garden, in that kind of environment, and that was God's plan for us to live. That's where we were going to live. I mean, it never even rained a picnic out. Water came up from the ground and watered. So it never rained on your parade. It was literally the perfect life in the perfect environment in a perfect scenario at every turn. And God told mankind what not to do. Y'all know the story. Mankind always got a better idea than God. And so he brings sin into the world. And now, from that point on, always remind yourself, we live in a fallen world. We don't live in the garden. We live in a fallen world, and we live in an environment that's not perfect. We live with people who are not perfect, who will constantly make mistakes. They're not perfect, and you need to always know that, remind yourself that, and expect that. Well, where, God, where were you when this hurricane came? God, why did you let this earthquake happen? God, why did you let this heart attack? Why did you let this cancer? God, all the whys that we always ask, God's asking you the same question. Why'd you let that happen? My plan was the garden. Don't be asking God, why did you let this hurricane drown and kill? Be like, what, God, why'd you do? Remember, God's plan was for you and I to be in the garden. Now, because we had a better idea, we live where we live now. But God's, don't be saying acts of God, and don't blame God for these kinds of things that are a result of us living life in a fallen world. People are not perfect. All of you young people, your parents are not perfect. They will make mistakes. They will over-discipline you. They will under-discipline you. They will say things to you they shouldn't have said. Your parents, you'll go back in the room, close the door. You'll start planning on stuff you can put in their tea to kill them. I know what teenagers think. But we all do the same thing. We all live there. So I know what we do. Your parents are not perfect, and they're going to make mistakes. They're going to handle you in ways they shouldn't have handled you, and they're not perfect. Your teachers are not perfect. They're going to make decisions. They're going to do things, they shouldn't have done. Your coach is not perfect. Going to do some things shouldn't have done. Going to do some, after I rethought that, I probably won't do that again. Your friends, your besties are not perfect. Your besties are going to hurt your feelings. They're going to say things they shouldn't have said. They're going to do things they shouldn't have done. We are imperfect people living with imperfect people. And the result of that is a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of disappointment. That is living life in a fallen world. That's where we live our life. Now, we read in the Old Testament, God's kids, through a series of events, not good events, they found themselves enslaved in Egypt. Y'all know the story. bad situation. They were enslaved in Egypt. Some of you remember the historical events in the Old Testament. 400 years of slavery. God raised up Moses to lead the Hebrews out of Egypt. You can read this in Exodus if you hadn't read this story. It was God's grace. It was God's love. He just delivered them. Nothing they did on their own part. See, it's a picture of our salvation. While we were enslaved in sin, His love, His grace, His mercy just delivered us. And He set them free. Now, His plan was for them to go and live in a very blessed land. I mean, the Bible describes the land flowing with milk and honey. I'm talking about he planned on them going and living a blessed life in a blessed land. Instead, they begin to complain and they murmured, they griped and they rebelled against God. Let me just drop this. God takes a dim view of murmuring and complaining. So next time you're bellyaching, remember that. They found themselves camping and traveling around and around and around Mount Sinai. And they did that for 40 years. They did that for 40 years. Now here's God's kids. Now get the scenario. Here's God's kids, promised, given by God, a great life, a blessed life, a prosperous land, but their life was being lived in a desert. Maybe describe somebody here today. I mean, you're saved, you've been delivered, you've been set free. You were promised a blessed life, you promised a great life, but boy, you're in a very dry, mundane, ugly place right now. I mean, no food source, no water source. We're talking a dry, desert life. Promised a great life, promised a blessed land. I don't know, maybe that's exactly where you are today. Told by God, provided by God, a blessed life, a land that was just running with blessings, yet their life was anything but blessed. And they camped there. And they lived there for 40 years, and desert living became a lifestyle for them. A lifestyle for them. I don't know, maybe depression might be becoming a lifestyle for you. Maybe the melancholy attitude, maybe the woe is me. I don't know. Maybe today, now it's become a lifestyle for you. You've lived here hurt and wounded and disappointed and in pain for so long. Deuteronomy chapter 1 opens in verse 1. Moses is speaking to the people in the wilderness. And in verse 2, normally it takes about 11 days to make the trip from the wilderness to the land of the blessings. After 40 years, the people are still camped in the wilderness in the desert. Wow. 40 years they've lived here. You know, we just find ourselves often, all of us do, find ourselves right here. I mean, you're in church today. You're saved. You're delivered. God's grace, God's love. He just delivered you and He saved you. You know it. You remember it. You can tell somebody about it. You come to church. You hear about a blessed life. You hear about a life where a land just flows and produces good and blessings for you. You're told week in and week out, God wants to bless you. God has abundantly blessed you. You hear week in and week out about a wonderful life. Yet you look around and your life stinks. Your life, you're lonely, you're unhappy, you're miserable. And right now, you're camped in a desert and you feel like you can't get out. You feel like you're just there. It happens to all of us. You're saved, you're delivered, but you're angry. You know anger's not right. You know you shouldn't be angry, but you still are. You're angry. I mean, you know that you shouldn't be mad, but you are. You know that you shouldn't be walking in unforgiveness toward your neighbor or toward a sister or cousin or an aunt or an uncle. You know you shouldn't be walking in unforgiveness toward somebody in your school, but you are. I know I shouldn't, but I'm not forgiving him. I'm mad and I'm not forgiving him. Maybe you're lonely today. Maybe just lonely. You don't have any friends. You hadn't had any friends. Maybe you're moody. You have mood swings. I'm irritable. I don't know, some of you can't sleep. You just are tormented at night. You can't sleep. Maybe you feel left out in school. You feel left out in school and you're not, without realizing it, my point is You've camped there. See, without realizing it, you had that thing that made you mad now was a year ago, was 5 years ago, was 45 years ago. You're still mad. I talk to people all the time, and they start reliving a story like it just happened to them. It's 40 years ago when a coworker, business partner cheated them out of their money and what happened, and they're still angry about it. Here's what I want you to know today. Things happen. And things happen because we are living in a life with imperfect people in a fallen world. Feelings are hurt. Pain happens. And the truth is, difficulty in life is pretty common for all of us. Difficulty, losses, hurts, pains, death, financial loss, loss of best friends, that just happens living life. But what I'm talking to you today about is, without realizing it, you're camping there. Without realizing it, you camp there. Now, your situation you're in right now, I want you to think about it. You've been in it. You've been in this situation. The question is, you're going around and around this mountain. The question is, what do you want to happen? I dare say right now, you're not sure what you want to happen. Do you want somebody to come apologize to you? Well, in my situation, I don't need an apology. Do you want an explanation? From who? Who do you want to explain why this happened to you, or what? Do you want an apology? Do you want an explanation? Do you want somebody to give you some money? I mean, what would make you happy right now? Well, I don't really know. See, we camp in these places for so long, we don't really know what we need, but we just know we need something. I don't really know what the answer is, but I just know I need one because I am miserable. My life stinks. I am hurt. I am painful. I'm bitter. I don't know what emotion describes where you are, but the fact is, your life stinks and you hate it, but I don't know what I want. I don't know. Maybe you're waiting on a physical change to take place. Maybe you're waiting on somebody else to, well, if they would just change, if they would just, maybe you're waiting on a financial change. I would dare say probably you're not really sure what you're waiting on. You just camped in the wilderness and life stinks for you. And you come here week in, week out and hear everybody talking about what a great life it is and how blessed it is. And well, rah, rah, we're Christians, and give everybody a high five and let's go eat lunch. And you're hurting. You're depressed. Looking back, for some of you, you can't really remember when it started. You looking back, you can't remember how long you have been depressed, or in this funk that you are in, or in this cloud. You can't really remember how long it's been since you've been mad or hurt or rejected. It's become a lifestyle. You don't realize it, but it has now become a lot. It's the way you live depressed. You live unhappy. You live just sad. Now you live mad. Talked to a guy not long ago and he said, Tim, I've been mad for 30 years. Had an abusive dad. Grew up fighting, had four brothers, and we fought all the time. My dad was an angry man. He was an alcoholic. He beat us. He was mad. And I grew up mad, and he said, I lived mad for the first 30 years of my life. Every day of my life, I was mad, and I went to school mad. I worked mad. I lived mad. You don't even remember how long it's been. You're living mad. This is where the Hebrews were. This is where God's kids were. They were camped there. Many of them, think about this, many of them were camped there because of the sin of their parents. They were born in the desert and they hadn't done nothing wrong. Maybe you have done absolutely nothing wrong and you are the recipient of this hellhole you're in. I didn't do nothing to deserve this. I didn't do nothing to get this. Now, Tim, I hadn't been perfect, but I didn't do anything to get where I am right now. I did not bring this on. You know, many of God's kids were in that situation. They were born there and they did nothing. They did nothing. Bottom line is still the same. They're in the desert. They're living in the desert. Didn't ask for it. Didn't choose this, but here I am. Our message today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6 and part of verse 7. When we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord our God said to us, you've stayed at this mountain long enough. It's time to break camp and move on. Verse 8 says, look, I'm giving all of this land to you. Go in and occupy it. There's nothing left for you to do but go in and occupy this. You know, Terry and I talk about this often in marriages, in homes, in families, in situations that we get ourselves in. You don't need to keep talking about it. What you did, what she said, what he said, what you said, what she said. Every time you talk about it, you fight about it. Every time you bring it up, you get another argument about it. And you know, at some point, you just need to quit talking about it. Here's what I believe, here's what she believes. And at some point, we just need to drop this, quit talking about it, and move on, because we're not ever going to talk this through and work this through. I don't mean you to take this wrong, but you may not even need any more counseling. We've talked about this and talked about this and prayed about this and prayed about this, and you've been to counseling, and you came to Ashley for years. He couldn't help you, so you went to get some professional counseling. That's always good. Get somebody that knows what they're doing. So you paid $100 an hour to professional counseling. That didn't help you. You know, you might need to quit talking about it. You might need to just quit talking about this in your home or in your marriage or with your kids. No more talking, no more discussing, no more apologizing, no more recapping. Let's go drop it and move on. Here's what I want you to notice. Something that sticks out to me in Deuteronomy chapter 1. When Moses tells them this, I want you to look at this. Nothing has changed. No apologies have happened. No better understanding has happened. No real change. Nothing has happened, and there is nothing different this day than it was the day before, nor it was the week before. Moses said, it's time. It's time now for you to break camp and for you to move on. Nobody's apologized to anybody. I came across some rather crude advice not long ago, and I feel quite sure this is not Sunday morning material. This is not apropos for a Sunday morning sermon, but it really describes where we are. I live on a ranch, and I'm in the cattle business, and this crude story really connected with me. It just did. So let me just have kind of a precursor here. I want to apologize to all the city folks. Now see, we got a mixed group in here. We got some of you that are sophisticated, you're uppity, you moved in here from the city. We know who you are. You look down your nose at all of this country people here. We're pretty hicky out here. And we get you. I mean, you're from the city and you brought in here, but boy, this life here is beneath you. But there's also a group in here that are country. And I don't mean country. I'm talking about spells with a K. K-U-N. I mean, we're country. And so there's a group of y'all, and y'all stand out in the crowd too. And I'm just a part of that country folk. I'm just country. So, all of you uppity city people, take a nap, daydream, don't listen to this because you're going to be highly offended. All you country people, I'm going to talk to you here for a minute. A little bird was flying south for the winter, but the air became so cold that it began to freeze and it couldn't make it to a warmer climate. After some time, the little bird finally collapsed in a large field where a herd of cows were grazing. Eventually, a cow came by and dropped a pile of manure on the freezing little bird. At first, the bird was upset, but then it started feeling how warm it was. I mean, that manure felt pretty good. It warmed up, and the bird began to thaw out, and it got so excited it started singing with joy. A cat happened to be walking by, and he heard the bird singing. He followed the sound to the pile of the manure, and he started digging in the manure. Discovering the bird, he ate it. It's the end of the story. Ate it. Feathers and all. Boom, gone. Well, we think about that story because it preaches volumes to us. Huge message here. Point number one. Not everyone who drops manure on you is your enemy. And you need to know that each day of your life. Not everybody that drops manure on you is your enemy. Let me tell you this. Not everyone who digs you out is your friend. Always know that. Always know that. Point number three. When you're in the manure, keep your mouth shut. That's the sermon today. I don't know what to tell you. We live in a fallen world, okay? And it just happens. Manure falls on all of us. It just happens. When you're in a pile of it, shut up. Keep your mouth shut. Now, there are things in our life that we just can't over-spiritualize. And the church has a long history of explaining God to people in a hurting situation, and you can't do that. Explaining why God this or why God did that or how this happened to you. The church has a long history of explaining about your faith or about your prayer or about why. Here's the bottom line. We live in a fallen world. Manure falls on you, shut up and keep moving on. It's just the way life happens for all of us. Romans 8:28 says, let what was meant for your destruction turn around and somehow, some way that you can't even fathom or believe, somehow this is going to turn out to be good for you. Here's the problem. You're camped there. You're camped there. You got to keep your mouth shut. Yes, it's bad, but it's time for you to break camp and move on. You just keep on chirping about it. You're going to keep on chirping about it, and you keep this disaster alive in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it tells us, as Christians, we are controlled by Christ's love, not by offense, not by anger, not by hurt. I want you to get this. Verse 14, we believe that we have all died to our old life. We've died to our old life. And as a Christian, this isn't once when you were in vacation Bible school 40 years ago. It's a daily dying to your old life and your old nature and your old thoughts. Daily dying to hurts, daily dying to moods, daily dying to offense, daily dying to misunderstandings. Things are just not done right. And we got to die to it. We just have to die to it. This is a very difficult sermon for me to preach. It's a very difficult sermon for me to preach because I've been ordained for 45 years and I'm a Bible teacher. And I teach the principles, the precepts of God. I explain God to people. And here's what's difficult about this. I have a finite mind. And I'm teaching other finite minds about an infinite being. And sometimes you get to a place when I'm standing in this situation, dealing with these crying people, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know, and I don't have any answers. But here's what I can tell you. If I did know and I could explain this, then I would not follow him as God, because he would be no bigger or smarter than I am. God understands this. He sees from a perspective I don't see. And there are some times in your life, in situations you're in, all you can do is live by faith and trust him. Put your hand in his hand and follow him forward in your life, because you can't figure this out. There is no figuring it out. Manure is falling on you. You just got to shake it off, keep your mouth shut, trust God, and follow him. There are a lot of things I can teach you about God, and I'm going to give it all I can teaching you about God. But I have to come to the point sometimes in my sermons that I say, there's a lot of things about God I don't know. And I don't know. I cannot explain this, nor can I figure this out. But here's what I do know. If I could explain everything about God, then he wouldn't be any smarter or bigger than I am. Verse 15 in Corinthians tells us, those who receive this new life will no longer live for themselves. You know, when you're in a dark cloud, 100% of your living is for yourself. When you are depressed, 100% of life is about you and what you're going through. My pain, my need, my hurt, my disappointment. It's a crisis that we're in our culture today. But this culture today is all about me, my, I, what I deserve. 100% of the commercials on TV is all about you, what you need, what you deserve, what you're entitled to, what you do. It's all, we are an all consumed, selfish thinking society. Terry and I got some people that we know. They had some new neighbors that moved in next to them. The neighbors' dogs came over in their yard, dug up their flower beds, dug up their yard. I mean, turned over their trash. This neighbor called that neighbor to say your dogs came over. His response was, yeah, they're just dogs. That's what dogs do. I would be mortified if my dog did that. I'd first shoot the dogs and then probably shoot myself. I'd feel so embarrassed that my dog. But we don't think about anybody else but me and my dog. And yeah, that's just what dogs do. No thought about your neighbor's yard, your neighbor's flowers, your neighbor's lawn, your neighbor's trash, what your neighbor out there having to pick that up. No thought. We don't think about anybody else but us and what we're feeling and what we're dealing with and what we're going through. We are consumed with self society. My hurt, my pain, my position in this argument, it's all about me. Today, I don't want to make light in any way of what any of you have been through or what you are going through now or what you're dealing with. I don't want to make light of that. For some of you, the hurt, the pain, the disappointment, the rejection, the collapse in homes or families or marriages or relationships or finances. Some of you young people, the hurt that you've been through on the playground at recess. I'm not up here today to make light in any way, in any shape, form, or fashion, the hurt and the pain and the difficulty that you've gone through. And I don't want today to stand here and appear non-sympathetic. I don't want to appear not understanding. I don't want to appear cold and calloused. The best I can tell you is we are living life in a fallen, sin-filled, imperfect world. That's where we're living our life. And I want to tell you today, you've stayed at this mountain long enough. It's time for you to break camp and move on. For all of us. For all of us. I'm not an infinite being. We serve an infinite God. I can't tell you the reasons and the purpose and all the hurts and the pains and the disappointments that your life has experienced. I can't explain all of that to you. But as a Christian, we've got to take our thoughts off of ourselves and what we're going through, and we're going to have to put our thoughts on other people and others' lives. There's nothing I can change about your situation. It is what it is. You don't have to live your life in this miserable, in this hurtful desert any longer. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 1, you've been at this mountain long enough. I'm not cold today. I'm not hard-hearted. I'm not non-understanding. I'm not sympathetic. I hurt for you. I don't want to see you hurt any longer. But church, there are times in your life we can't come to the altar and pray about it. You can't come to my office and us counsel about it. I can't read one more chapter out of the Bible to you. All I can tell you is it's time for you to break camp and move on.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.